I found God on the corner of First and Amistad, where the West was all but one. All alone, smoking his last cigarette, I said, where you been? He said, ask anything. Where were you when everything was falling apart? All my days were spent by telephone that never rang. All I needed was a call that never came to the corner of First and Amistad.
Yes, indeed, Janine. There are people out there who need to be found, and there are people out there finding them on street corners for Jesus Christ.
Oh, and those precious children that need to be found and taken care of. Our hearts go out. In fact, it makes me cry just to think about how many lost children we have in this world.
You are listening, ladies and gentlemen, to You Get the Blessing. And this morning we're getting the blessing because I'm Chuck King and my wife Janine is on air with us. I'm guest hosting, Janine and I are guest hosting for Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell, who are in the business of interviewing leaders on this show, Christian leaders. I've been saying Christian leaders across the state of Colorado. These are Christian leaders around the world. And we have with us this morning Andrea Pauline, who is the executive director of Musana Children's Home in Nganga. She was trying to teach me how to say this, Nganga, Uganda. Say that 10 times in a hurry. And it's a home for 80 children who are now living there. Tell us how in the world you got involved in this ministry. You're young enough to be my granddaughter.
Yes. Well, about a year ago, May 2008, I went on a volunteer experience with my sister Leah and good friend Sally. I was 20 years old. Leah was 19 and Sally was 22. And we just went for a three-month period to experience the world and see Uganda and see if we could make a difference in any way. About a month into the trip, we came across Maranatha Orphanage, which was an orphanage home that had 150 children living there. They were sleeping on the floors, dirt floors, rocky. They weren't eating. They didn't have any medical supplies or... They had illnesses like no other, skin rashes and a lot of HIV positive kids, and they weren't being educated. And it broke all of our hearts, and we fell in love with these kids. And come August, we decided that we couldn't leave them. And so I stayed back, and I opened an orphanage, our own orphanage called Musana Children's Home. Sally and Leah came back in August and have been doing fundraising. I stayed in Uganda, and I've been there for the past year. We rented buildings and brought 80 kids of the 150 into a new home. We now have a registered nursery and primary school, and our outreach is now 120 kids.
It's unbelievable.
All I can say is, wow. I'm doing so little. And at your age, what were you doing before you did this? Were you in school?
Yeah, I'm still in school.
Are you really? Where do you go to school?
University of Colorado Boulder.
Wow. And what took you to Uganda in the first place?
Well, I'm really interested in microfinance. And so I did some research on how I could do a microfinance internship in a third world country and came across Uganda. So my first 3 months in Uganda last summer, I was working with Uganda Microfinance Limited, and I had an internship and kind of learned the ropes of how loans are given out. And so that's kind of how I chose Uganda.
For our listeners who don't know what microfinance is, tell us a little bit about the microfinance business and how you got from that to an orphanage.
Well, microfinance is giving small loans to the absolute poor. It's a way to bring people out of their economic suppression and teach them business skills and give them an opportunity to become entrepreneurs and create businesses. And I'm in the LEED School of Business in Boulder, so that's a huge thing on my heart. I think so I'm a big social entrepreneur. I think that's probably what I'll go into after this whole Musana thing.
Sounds like you're already in it.
Yeah, it sounds pretty amazing. I'm actually the dean of the School of Business at Colorado Christian University, and you're exactly what we want our students to turn out to be. So what a wonderful thing you are doing. How do you raise your support?
Right now, it's all friends and family. I've spoken at a few churches, and we've raised quite a bit of support through that. We also have 80 sponsors. So we have 80 people giving $40 a month. We are always interested in getting new sponsors. And so our sponsorship is what is keeping us going, taking care of those costs.
I assume you're a 501c3?
We are in the process, yes. Our application is submitted, so we're waiting on that.
And for those who don't know, I know enough about the law that any donation you make to someone who has a 501c3 application in process relates back to the date of the application. So you can feel safe that your dollars are going to be donated to tax-deductible cause, but more importantly, to a cause that's the cause for Jesus Christ.
Oh, and tell us, Andrea, a little bit how people can contact you if they want to be a donor.
Yeah, well, we have our website up and running. It's www.musana.org. And on that site, we have information about what our project is and how people can volunteer, how they can help, and how they can donate. We have contacts for if somebody wants to sponsor a child. The more sponsors we get, the more children we can help. There's still a lot of kids out there that need help, and I mean, we want to be able to reach out to as many of those needy kids as we can.
Let's talk about those kids a little bit. So let's go back to Uganda here.
Okay.
And you have how many? 80?
We have 80 kids living at the orphanage.
What are their ages?
3 to 15. And we also have 40 kids that come in from the village every day for school.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. So how far is the village from, or where are you located to the village?
Well, how Uganda works is, well, Iganga is a town, and Musana Children's Home is located about 10 minutes outside of town in a smaller village. So it's like a sub-county type of area. And so there's a lot of children that aren't in school, and we hired a headmaster and 6 teachers. And so we thought, hey, we have these teachers that we're paying. We might as well help educate the children in the community. So we brought in some more kids, and they just come for day school.
What's the language that's spoken there?
It's Lusoga.
And did you speak that language?
I try.
Wow. Did you speak it when you went there?
No.
This show ought to be called Entrepreneurs for Jesus Christ. This is just amazing that someone, because the definition of an entrepreneur, if you're in business school, you know that. The definition of an entrepreneur is someone who identifies a need and figures out a way to fill it. Boy, did you find a need, and boy, did you figure out a way to fill it. What's your day like on a daily basis?
Well, my day, I wake up really early. I live about a mile away from the orphanage, so I wake up and I walk the about 30 minutes. I get there at about 7 o'clock, and I teach devotions to the kids. So we sing some praise songs, and I teach a Bible lesson, and then the kids go to school. I'm taking online courses while I'm there, so I do some online coursework. But mainly I'm the director, so I walk around, and we have a staff of 21 people. We have a huge agriculture project with goats, and we're getting cows and chickens, and we have 5 acres of land that we farm on. So I really just walk around, make sure that the staff is doing their job. I'm in charge of doing all of the registration and keeping accountability of the funds. I do all of the shopping, things like that.
That is fabulous. Well, what's the greatest needs? I mean, I know that you just need funds so you can take care of your needs, but what are the needs? What do you need? School supplies and desks and all of that? Or did you get set up pretty well before you started this? Or how did it all work?
Well, we always have needs. Right now, we're trying to put together a computer program. None of the kids have even seen a computer, so when I bring in my laptop, they just stare at it like, "What is this?" Mm-hmm. Like they have no idea. But I mean, one of our goals is educating these kids to be able to compete not only nationally but internationally, and kind of get a broader mindset on the education level. And like computers, learning the keyboard and using the internet is a huge part of that. So right now we're trying to rally up some laptops. So if anybody has old laptops,
laptops, make a note of that, Janine.
Yes.
And tell us again, so we don't forget, how people can get a hold of you to donate these things.
www.musana.org.
And where did the name Musana come from?
Musana means sunshine in the local language.
I knew that.
And it's spelled
M-U-S-A-N-A.
Okay.
Yes.
www.musana.org. And where were these kids before? Where did they come from? Where were they before you got there?
Well, all of these kids, they came from villages. Basically, these kids were neglected or taken by their guardians. Most of them are orphans from HIV/AIDS, and they were taken by their guardians and dumped into this orphanage that I was telling you about, where we got all of our kids from. So they've never had education, they've never had new clothes, they've never had shoes, they've never been to the hospital. So, I mean, they're just very desperate and in need of love and care and education.
Are many of these kids terminally ill?
We have a few HIV-positive kids. We've actually just got finished getting all of them tested, and it's been a miracle with to see. We were expecting a much higher rate, so you know, we're praising God that it came out so low.
That's wonderful. Now, what is the prognosis for these kids? I mean, are these adoptable children from people from the States, or are they really need to stay in their own culture, or what do you?
One of our goals is to put the kids back into their villages, if it's possible. One thing we've been doing is going around and finding information about these kids and if they can go back to their homes, and we can support them from their homes. That's what we try to do. I definitely am a firm believer that every child should know their own culture and be around their relatives. And in most of the cases in Iganga, the people are just too poor to take care of them. They're very, very poor and desperate, and it's 70% polygamous. Iganga is 70% polygamous. So there are so many wives and children, and they live in these mud huts in the villages, and there's no education. And so, I mean, I guess our goal is to bring these kids and kind of teach them skills that they can bring back and transfer to the other people in their community.
Is part of your goal to evangelize them as well?
Yes. To an extent, I think that the first thing that needs to happen is they need to be fed and they need to be cared for. And every day, I'm called Auntie Paulini. That's what all of the kids call me. And every day they say, "Auntie Paulini, why do you stay? Why do you take care of us? And why do you feed us? Like, why aren't you in America going to school?" And I have an awesome testimony I can say, because God loves us, and I want to share his love with other people. And I think that that's the best test. Like, that's a great testimony. And the kids are really beginning to understand that love, and that God loves them, and in return, they should love other people.
That's so beautiful. Now, for all of the hundreds of people that are listening to you that just want to pack their bags and take off tomorrow and do the same thing you're doing, what are some of the setbacks here? I mean, is the language the barrier? What did you find that were your roadblocks when you got there?
Our roadblocks. Well, there's quite a few. I'm in a 70% Muslim community, which is really difficult. And not only that, I'm one of the only white people in the community, so I'm very...
not hard to spot you, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, everywhere I go, I'm I mean, it's really a reverse racism type of deal. Everywhere I go, people are trying to charge me more. They want to rip me off. And that's really hard. And it's hard when you want to help people. And, you know, these kids are amazing and they're so grateful and faithful and loving. But unfortunately, it's not like that throughout. And you definitely have people that want you to fail. And you just have to, the beginning was one of the hardest challenges of my life, overcoming that and trying to get the government to accept us. And now they have, and it's been great. And they're so supportive and helpful.
What did you do to get the government to accept you?
Well, persistence, a lot of persistence. There was a period where I was in the government, the top local officials' offices every day, sitting on their sofas, waiting for them when they came in their offices, and talking to them and trying to work with them to meet the needs of the community.
You are listening to You Get the Blessing, and we are truly getting a blessing this morning by talking to Andrea Pauline, who's the executive director of Musana Children's Home in Iganga, Uganda. Your normal hosts are, to the extent they're normal, are Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell, who normally do these interviews, but my wife Janine and I have the pleasure, I'm Chuck King, we have the pleasure of being the guest host today, and what a blessing it is to us to talk to Andrea. As Janine said a while ago, one thinks, well, boy, this is something I'd really like to do. And then I think about, are you the only person that went there? There are no other Americans there with you.
The past year there haven't. We have a volunteer program, so we have volunteers that come and go.
Tell us about the volunteer program. How does someone become involved in that?
Well, on our website, we have a volunteer page, and you can read all about it. But we have volunteer opportunities from teaching to microfinance to opening businesses, crafts, arts and crafts, agriculture. So we have a lot of volunteer opportunities, and we love the help. We need the help. I need the help. So if anybody's interested and have always wanted to come to Africa, it's a really good opportunity.
You're truly walking in the shoes that Jesus would have walked in had he been there. And you seem to lack fear. You know, being a normal middle-class American, I'm worried about, okay, I'm dealing with all these people with AIDS. I'm going to be there by myself with a bunch of people who probably don't want me around and would like to take all the things I have. Do you have those fears?
Yeah, I do. I can't lie. There's definitely, it's been a scary process. But I also have a Ugandan family. The co-director of Musana is a Ugandan orphan, and I've been working very closely with him. And these people, there's so much potential and there's so much love and community. And the kids and my staff, they're my Ugandan family, and they take care of me. They're so protective of me. It's not all bad. Like, there's definitely challenges, but there's so many good people there and loving people that want to see their community come out of this suppression that they've been in.
Are you are the people who are surrounding you directly Christians, most of them?
Most of our staff is Christian, yes.
And do you have Muslim friends?
Yes, many Muslim friends.
And do
friends.
They appreciate what you're doing there despite the difference in religion?
Yeah, some don't. There's a constant battle between Christianity and Muslim in the area, but I have many Muslim friends, and my friends don't seem to mind it. It's as Christianity is growing in the community, I think people are kind of opening their minds to it and becoming a little bit more comfortable with it. And, I make a point. I just want to love the people. You know, I'm not trying to shove anything in their faces. I don't think that Jesus would have done that. Jesus loved people, and that's how he shared his love and his, testimony. And so that's what I try to do.
I think that's a great approach to ministry in an environment like that, because the people have so many needs that until you help meet some of those needs, you can't even begin to relate to them spiritually. What an awesome thing you're doing. What is the greatest victory you've had since you've been there?
The greatest victory. Probably moving the kids. September 16th was a day that I will remember for the rest of my life. I got to move 40 of the 80 kids into their new home, and they slept on beds for the very first night in their lives. And I went around that night and gave every child a hug and a kiss goodnight. Mm-hmm. And just the joy in their eyes, and you know, they've never felt comfort like that. And just seeing these kids go from this desperate, lonely, scared, I mean, they lived with so much fear. They lived with so much fear. And, you know, it's been a process. It didn't go away overnight. And I don't know if it's a way for them now. I mean, they've had lives that I don't think anybody here can really even imagine. And just watching them grow and the way that they worship and the faith that they have. And it's really just been so inspirational to me.
Janine, that hugging and kissing could be your ministry, because you're a grandmother and you're the greatest hugger and kisser of kids I've ever seen.
Well, other than leaving my grandkids behind, could I come back with you and just hug and kiss them? Do you see, I guess what I'm hoping for is an absolute change in their whole philosophy of life, as far as wanting to and finding a way to achieve and to grow economically as well as spiritually. But do you see that already igniting in them that, gee, I can raise livestock? I mean, I can really make my village a productive place to live in and that type of thing. Are you already seeing that that's a possibility?
Yeah. I mean, these kids are, I mean, they're like sponges. They just suck up information. And I mean, we have kids that are already leading devotionals in the morning and leading worship and prayer and milking our goats. And they get up every morning and they go and dig in the farm. And I mean, they all know how to farm because it's like a huge part of their community. That's their main economic,
That's the way they support themselves.
Yeah, that's the way they support themselves. So everybody knows how to use a hoe. Everybody knows how to go to the garden and dig. And so, but as far as like spirituality and I don't know, it's just been really cool to see them grow. It really has.
Are you, do you maintain contact with your friends and professors back at CC or back at Colorado University?
Yeah, well, I'm actually home for the months of May and June taking summer classes. Wow. In Boulder. So a few of my professors know, and they've all been very supportive. CU's been really, really supportive of this whole endeavor.
I'll tell you, as a professor myself, nothing makes you prouder and feel like you're doing more than to have a student like you who takes what she's doing in the classroom and goes out and makes a difference in the world. And of course, as a Christian, when I see a student who's going out and doing something for the cause of Christ with the education she's got, it's just totally amazing. Mm. What about your parents? What do they think about this?
Well, my dad is a little scared, I'm sure. My mom has actually been to visit me 2 times in the last year.
She does the hugs and kisses too.
Yeah, she does. but they've been very, very supportive. I think the initial shock when I called them and said, I'm not getting on the plane, I think that they were freaked out. And my whole family was like, Andrea, what are you doing? But they have been so supportive. And it's not me anymore. It's a whole family project. And everybody's gotten involved. My dad does some of the financing. My mom has organized our board and advisory board, and my sisters have all been, I mean, it's just been incredible. So,
wow. What a terrific thing, to see a family working together to do this sort of thing. So in our remaining time, tell us how we can help you.
Well, we need funds, and unfortunately, like, that's the biggest need. like I said, we are renting buildings. So in the future, we need to buy land and we need to build. And the location we're in needs a lot of help. And the more resources we can get and the more people we can get involved, the bigger this can be and the more love we can spread. And so I encourage everyone to check out www.musana.org. As well as please keep us in your prayers, because it's a daily struggle and it's a daily challenge and there's a lot of needs. So
www.musana.org. Mm-hmm. Don't miss going to that site and learning about this fantastic ministry. You are listening to You Get the Blessing, and we've truly been blessed today by having Andrea Pauline with us. We encourage you to become a part of this ministry, like all the ministries that we're able to present on this program. Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell are all about highlighting great leaders in the Christian community, and this is one this morning that is just terrific to have with us. Thank you so much for what you're doing, Andrea. You make me feel like I'm doing nothing.
Andrea, God bless you and this wonderful work you're doing for those precious children.
Thank you.